We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 12 this morning, looking at verses 4 through 11. Hebrews chapter 12, 4 through 11. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. This is the word of God. You may be seated. Everything that God allows or that God does has a purpose. As believers in God, we have been set apart by God. We have the Lord Jesus Christ's perfect righteousness imputed to us. We are no longer enslaved to our sin, and yet we all still sin. We are imperfect vessels, and yet we are called to imitate Christ. This morning, I want us to think about sanctification, that process of being set apart by God. It seems a bit odd when we think about the discipline of God, but that is a part of our sanctification. So, taking a pulled back view, there are three aspects of sanctification. There is the positional aspect of it. When we are saved, we go from being in our fallen state in Adam to our risen state in Christ. And that is initiated by Christ. We have the cooperative aspect, which comes between when we are saved and when we either go to be with God or Christ returns. And that is the cooperative. It is a divine cooperative. We are working on our sanctification, and God and the Holy Trinity are working on our sanctification as well. And then there is final perfection, when God's good work that was started in us comes to completion. And what I want to focus on this morning is the cooperative aspect of our sanctification, what God does and what we do through that. The very moment that we are saved, we go from being cursed in Adam to being reborn in Christ, and we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. At that moment, actually before, but our eternity is decided. One day we will be in heaven with God forever. It is decided for us, in us, even though God had already decided it before time began. That is the moment that sanctification begins, when we get saved. We are justified before God, but we are not yet made perfect. God can and will use us in this imperfect state, but we are to work with the help of God on our sanctification. The verses that we just read focus on the discipline of God. Verses 4 through 6 tells us that discipline comes from the Lord. Verses 7 through 10 tells us that when we are corrected by the Lord, it means that we belong to Him. And finally, in verse 11, it basically says that discipline is not fun. We don't need the Holy Spirit to know that. But discipline is profitable towards righteousness. And as we work on our sanctification, we are working towards righteousness. Now, chastening or discipline is to correct by punishment or suffering. There are many in the world who, when they suffer or they are punished for something, cry out, God, why am I being persecuted? Why am I suffering? Why am I being punished? And the answer may very well be, God is working on our righteousness. How God, very much like a benevolent father, must discipline his children from time to time. Our passage states that while that discipline is not fun, it does serve a purpose. And that purpose is found in verse 11, as I said. Verse 11 says, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. When we suffer, when we are punished, if we just say, I am suffering, I am being punished, we are not being trained by it. If we are being trained by it, we have the correct attitude towards that discipline, towards that punishment, and we are working on our sanctification through those difficult and hard times. The peaceable fruit of righteousness is the yield, not only of God's discipline, but also of our work in our sanctification. And God's discipline can and will be a big part of that. We have the righteousness of Christ, but we lack his perfection. We are not perfect. We all have rough edges. Our sanctification, that cooperative aspect, is us with the help of God working on smoothing out those rough areas. And it's more God with the help a little bit from us smoothing out those rough areas. We are not going to reach perfection this side of glory. We're just not. But is what we as believers have been commanded by God to work on. So we're going to look at the nature and the basis of our sanctification in the hopes of gaining a better understanding of what God is doing and what we should be doing as well. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, your perfect word, your infallible word that guides us and directs us and that you use to speak through to us. I pray for transformation this morning, Father, from the truth of your word. Let it imbue us. Let it enrich us. Let us enlighten us this morning, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Our sanctification is grounded in the absolute holiness of God. God is perfectly holy. Because of that, God does not abide with sin. That is a huge problem for us if we are lost. And that is even a problem for us if we are saved, but not as big as if we are lost. While we are sinners, those who have lost are lost, do not have forgiveness of their sin. Those of us who are children of God have those sins forgiven, even though we still sin. But if we are lost, we have no hope, no way to deal with that sin. And the Lord is coming. One day the Lord will return, and we will go to be with him if we are saved. Our sanctification in the meantime is preparing us for that day. It is preparing us to serve God now, and it is preparing us for when we either go to be him or he returns for us. As followers of Christ, we look forward to that day eagerly, and our focus should be on our sanctification because God demands it, that his people reflect his holiness. The Bible is filled with examples of people following or not following the Lord. 1 Peter 1 tells us, God, through it, tells us, be holy, for I am holy. That is not easy for us to do, even if we do belong to Him. We are to be holy because He is holy. Why are we to be holy? We are to be holy because God demands it. We are to be holy so that we can be in a right relationship with God. If we have recurring sin in our lives, that separates us from God, and that separates us from a right relationship with Him. We are to be holy because that is how we are to be like Him. We are to be like God in His holiness. Sanctification, this is the work that we do on us and that God does on us, and it is the will of God for His people. Our redemption, what allows us to have that sanctification, comes from one source, and that is Christ. Flip over with me to Ephesians 1, not too far to go. Ephesians 1, let's look at 4 through 7. Ephesians 1, 4 through 7. And this is our redemption in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. I love the book of Ephesians, because there is so much in that book that tells us what God has done for us. Our sanctification is rooted in the absolute perfect holiness of God. God chose us when we were unlovable. He loved us. That is the foundation of our sanctification. God chose us, God's election of His people, those whom He would save. The only way we can be saved, because we are sinners and God is holy, is through the atoning death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Through Jesus and only through Jesus. The only way we have sanctification to work on is because we are saved. If we are not saved, we do not have sanctification. That work has not started in us yet. Flip over to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, chapter 12. This is in the next chapter. But it talks about what price that sanctification came at. It came at the price of the suffering of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Listen to this in verse 12. Therefore, Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered outside the gate. We are sanctified if we are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that sanctification, that process, came at a price. God cannot and will not deny who He is. He is merciful, yet at the same time, He is holy. His complete and perfect mercy in and of itself could not allow forgiveness without there first being a payment for God's absolute and perfect holiness. It is through Christ Jesus that we have both mercy and payment for our sin. It is what Christ did on the cross as a one-time perfect sacrifice that allows God to pass his wrath from us onto Jesus. Christ, who is perfect and without sin, took our sin on himself so that we would have the opportunity at justification, sanctification, and salvation. Had Christ not done that, we would all be without hope. It is only by the grace of God that we, his children, are able to work on our sanctification at all. Without Christ, we would be done, our sin sending us to hell for eternity. Because of our sin, we are flawed, detestable sinners with nothing to offer God. Now you may say, well, I am a good person, not good enough. No one here is good enough on their own merit, on their own accomplishments to get into heaven. It is not enough. Nothing we do merits salvation aside from accepting Christ. And we even need God's help in order to do that. I've never been there, but I'm sure that there are a lot of good people in hell, unfortunately. They never were saved by God. Nothing that they did merited heaven. We on our own have nothing to offer God. We cannot save ourselves but for the grace of God. Christ says, come as you are. Christ loved us when we were unlovable. He died for us, taking the punishment that was rightfully ours upon his shoulders. If God had poured his wrath upon us, it would have satisfied that wrath, but it would not have sanctified us to righteousness. We would have been cast into hell with God's wrath poured out on us. But for the grace of God, Jesus went to the cross in our place, taking the punishment that we deserved, the righteousness of Christ, our relationship with God reestablished if we believe, and the chance, the opportunity for all of us who are saved to work on our sanctification, to work towards God's perfection, to be a reflection of Christ, to be more like him, to be Christ-like. That is what we have by the grace of God. Not that we deserve that, but what God has generously given to us. Our sanctification is a work of the Holy Trinity. All parts of the Godhead are involved in our sanctification at one time or another. But it is the Word of God that is the basis for our sanctification. Flip back to Ephesians. We're going to be in chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27. This is a well-known verse. This is actually after an even well-knowner verse, if that's a word. And it is not. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Now God, through Paul, is not just speaking about marriage here. He is also talking about the church. He is talking about marriage, but he is also speaking about the church. Now marriage, when following biblical precepts, is a symbol of Christ's relationship with his church. We are to be holy The Word of God is what cleanses us. So hopefully we're starting to see kind of how this all fits together. When we get saved, our sanctification begins. But between the moment that we have that salvation until we go to be with the Lord or the Lord returns, we are to be working on that sanctification with the help of the Trinity and through God's holy word. We are saved through grace. Through grace we are able to work on it. We are commanded to work on our sanctification with the help of the Holy Spirit and with the holy word of God. Like so many things that we do as Christians, we cannot do it on our own. We need to rely upon the strength, the power, the wisdom of our God. We rely on God and we discipline ourselves. And discipline means spending time and spending effort in the Word of God, in our relationship with God. God has a part in it. We have a part in it. But God started it and God will finish it. He has and will help us with it. And one day He will complete it. But we have a part to play in our sanctification. We as a fallen creation have a need, a very real need for sanctification. Sanctification has been commanded for us to do by God, and we have a real need for it. Whether we are saved or we are not, we need it. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Because of our sin, we cannot work on our sanctification apart from God. We have no access to God apart from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Membership in the human race means that we are sinners. The two are not separated. If you're a member of the human race, hopefully we all are, we are sinners. That's the truth. That's a hard truth for some people to learn. But whether or not we are enslaved to that sin rests on whether or not we know Christ as Lord and Savior. If we are lost, as I've said before, we have no sanctification because it is not until we are saved that God starts that work in us, that good work, that process. Our enslavement to sin can only be broken through Jesus Christ, those whom God the Father has drawn to Him, and no other way. He starts the good work of our sanctification, and that is a process that does not end until He returns or we go to be with Him. When that happens, and only when that happens, will our sanctification be complete. That moment that God perfects us finally. Between those two times that we are saved and we go to be with Him, or He comes to us, we, with the help of the Holy Spirit and God's holy word, are to continue working on our sanctification. It does not end with us getting saved, but it starts there. That is where it begins. Our sanctification is consecrating us to God. It is setting us apart for God's holy work here on earth. We've been set apart by God for God. The mission of every Christian is to continue working on becoming more like Christ. That is the process of our sanctification. Now, this morning we've been talking about the nature and the basis of our sanctification. Just to quickly sum up, our sanctification is a consequence of our justification. And it is dependent upon us being in a right relationship with God. God is holy, and He demands that we as His followers reflect that holiness. God chooses whom He saves. The grace of God allows us the process and the will to do and work on our sanctification. And the only way that that happens is through Jesus. Flip over quickly to 2 Corinthians, or slowly, it doesn't matter. We'll wait for you. 2 Corinthians 3, 18. 2 Corinthians 3, 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. That is sanctification in a nutshell. If we are saved, the process of our sanctification has begun. It is not something that we can or should do on our own. We need God working in our lives. I would go even farther and say, we need to pray to God to work in our lives. Sanctification does not begin, however, until we are saved. There may be people here who are not saved, whom God has not started this process on. Does not begin with us, does not begin in us until we are saved. If you have questions regarding your salvation, I would encourage you to please come and talk to us today. We cannot save you, but we can provide information and answers to questions that you might have and possibly point you in the right direction. Amen. When we are disciplined from the Lord, there is a reason behind it. All of us had caretakers in one form or another as we were growing up. Some of us are parents. When we were disciplined as children, or we had to discipline a child, there was a reason behind it. Being disciplined can be unpleasant at times. Working on our sanctification can be unpleasant at times. But it is better when we understand that there is a reason behind it. When we are working on our sanctification, we know that there is a reason and a purpose behind it. And we have an identity because we are working on that sanctification, because God is working on us with that. And that is an identity. We are His children. We belong to Him. Many of us who are saved, when the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin in our lives, that is a call to action. We need to take steps to correct that sin. Not to correct our neighbor's sin, but to correct our sin. Though there are times when we need to talk to our neighbor about sin, and I would pray if there is times when they need to talk to us, they would. As people and as believers, we all sin. The difference is a lost person cannot take any steps to correct that sin. They have no relationship with God, no connection with Him. Those of us who are saved, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to cleanse us from our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is step one if we are a sinner. If we are a sinner and we know God and the Holy Spirit points out that sin, or we see that sin in our own lives, the first step for us is to take it to God. We take it to God and we confess that sin. Step two for us is to work with the help of God to not repeat that sin again. That is a part of our sanctification. That is a part of being more like Christ. Christ was without sin. We as imitators of Him need to work on not sinning. That is a lot easier said than done. And there are going to be times, many times, over and over in the course of our lives when we fail at that. But I promise you, if we are working on that, we will also triumph at not sinning, because we have the help of a holy, omnipotent, all-powerful God to help us. There are times when we will fail, but we will triumph as well. We need to continue working on our sanctification as long as we can, or until Christ returns. And we do that by reading the Holy Word, by prayer and meditation, and by action when we recognize sin in our lives. We need to do this. We've been commanded to do this. As followers of God, we should be imitators of Christ. We should know the Bible because Christ knew the Bible, and because God speaks to us through His Word. Everything that we should do, everything that we do, should be for God's honor and for God's glory. And we do that by working on our sanctification. If we do this, this will change our lives as believers. When we are actively living to be like Him, and we are actively living for Him. We are to be holy because God is holy. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your message this morning. I pray that You would help us this week as we work on our sanctification. Help us to correct areas of sin in our lives. Help us to be an example. Help us to find those around us who are lost and to talk to them about the amazing, the miraculous, the wonderful things that You have done in our lives, how we were once dead in our sins and now we are alive in You, and that we are working on being more like You through the process of our sanctification. We thank You for the blessing that is salvation, and we pray for any here who may not know You that today would be the day of salvation for them. We love You, Lord. And we glorify You in thought, word, and action. And in Jesus' name, amen. Grace and peace to you.